Hello and welcome to This Might Be The News. My name's Rory and this week I'm joined by regular guest Sophie.
Hiya.
And brand new guest, Alex.
Wagwan.
Alex Wheeler. We might accidentally start calling you Wheeler at points because we've known you for a long time from uni days.
Yeah.
Used to.
Now everyone can Google you.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like a Tom Brown school days kind of, you know, bit part.
So you're, some avid listeners will remember that last week we sort of concluded that we needed to track down a Tory to balance out the slightly biased left-wing tone that this podcast sometimes has. And so Sophie and I racked our brains.
I mean, I immediately knew this is my first choice.
your number one choice.
Number one choice.
When we talk, think about Trackatori, which does sound a little bit like an Italian ice cream.
Yeah. Which is very not what Wheeler looks like.
How can you look like an ice cream?
You can. Some people have moon faces.
I always identify as a Viennetta wherever possible.
You have got dark hair and a white body.
Sorry, that's not Viennetta, it's interspliced. Anyway, sorry.
But anyway, so we brought you on, Alex, today to sort of speak for, well, an absent voice in this podcast. And the timing is good because we're going to cover something that's something of a specialist area for you in our first feature, The Facts.
Facts.
The facts. So last week we looked at the Labour manifesto, covered it in detail, rigorous research.
Yeah, I got a nice overview. Yeah.
So Alex, Sophie's going to be sort of playing the role of the undecided voter, by the way.
I'm not even playing a role there, like, that's just me. I'm quite open-minded. I've got a few thoughts in my head, but nothing. I don't think you should. I have tried to read the manifesto this week, but that just sort of meant me trying to print it off, and turns out it's really long. I got the forward.
So all three of the main party, well, the two main ones and the Lib Dems, released their official manifestos this week, and we're going to look at the Tory one this week. What's it called, Sophie? Have you got the name?
Forward Together.
Oh,
very Churchillian.
And what's the subheader?
Our plan for a stronger Britain and a prosperous future.
Oh my God!
I read the foreword and I read it twice by accident, and it was.
It does sound like something like George Orwell would write. Or something.
I don't know what either of you are jabbering about. It's chocked full of smash hits.
It's a now 72
you know,
album.
This is I just say, this is now 1997. My whole shtick for this is, if I don't like it, you know, everyone else probably should vote Conservative. If you want to call them the right of the party, this is very much, throwing sand in our eyes. And whilst we're blundering around, they quickly move everything over to the centre and the left. And that's...
They have gone all middle, haven't they?
Yeah. So, it's how, ever since Blair won, it's how the government has been formed, is by whoever can take the middle ground. Just for the listeners know, so the listeners can know, Sophie is... waving a picture of Theresa May. While I'm trying to say anything remotely factual.
Do you fancy her?
Her aesthetic is absolutely bitchin', because like, she's rocking the bob, she's got a power suit, she's got pearls, she looks like Strayden.
Bob.
You know, yeah, she looks, you know, like Thatcher Mark II, but that's kind of...
Do you think that's branding, though?
Ends.
Do you think she's
it
done
is.
That?
It's beautifully posited to appeal to brothers and sisters like myself. One, in actuality, the essence is very much, you know... I wouldn't say Cameron Mark II, because that's very insulting, but it's kind of very One Nation Conservative.
So she's trying to
government.
Look like she's really right-wing, so she gets all the Conservative and the van men and whatever.
So all we get is, you know, power suits, and everyone else gets the actual policies. That's kind of, that's the deal.
So just to give the listeners some background on you, Alex, would you say you sort of fell to the writer side of the party?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Righteous side of the party. That's bang on.
Righteous. Where were you last night?
I was at a black tie Tory dinner in the West End, high fiving the legacy of Enoch Powell and Lord Tebbit.
Wow.
It is what it is.
And so the right side of the party, sort of the backbenchers that we hear a lot about, and sort of the
like who are our players there.
John Redwood.
Like his surname?
David Davis, but he's not obviously a backbencher. Liam Fox, I'm sure I'm missing out others, but those are the ones that roll off the tongue, sort of the hardcore Brexiteer mob.
Word
on the street is Liam Fox likes a drink.
That's fine. Who doesn't? I'm sure he's bashing pina coladas whilst reading his free market economics.
I swear you out someone as a binge drinker.
I'm pretty sure that is slander. Like, also, is it? Is it slander? Which is the one?
Allegedly, she didn't mean it. She said it as a joke. We don't know anything.
I've got an insider.
Stop saying.
Sorry. Allegedly.
So the whole point is that the names we've just gone through and who are definitely not Alkies are probably not too happy with this, because if you flick through, you know, like a classic Tory rag like The Spectator, they ain't particularly happy. You know, all this talk of capping energy prices, the £9 per hour promise, guarantee.
So, and what, that's for minimum wage?
Minimum wage.
So, so Labour are saying £10 minimum wage, Tories are saying £9. I mean, does it even matter? Or yeah. It probably does.
What would you want?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily beneficial, because the market kind of has to decide it. If you say we put up to £20 an hour, and your job is unskilled, people are just going to employ fewer individuals because the wage rate's going to be too high to warrant
maximum. Like, the cleaner at McDonald's is going to have to do twice as much cleaning.
Yeah, because there'll be half the staff. That's kind of the logic.
Dirty McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's like, so you're a company and you make £100 a year. I mean, it's barely a company. And then they tell you that you've got to raise the wages of your staff without you increasing your £100 a year. It's not great, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to sort of distort it away from the essence of what we're chatting about, because I'm representing the right of the party, and like I say, if the shtick is if I don't like it, then it's probably good for most moderates and centrists.
Vote Tory because it must be pretty good if you don't like it.
It pretty much, you know. May has very, very much, like, I don't know, like, there are bits I do like, though. I mean, she's it's all spoken, you know, it's kind of like a trade-off. We've done a deal, you know, which is that by appropriating the vaguely more palatable, though misguided,
genuinely, really, it's like, I'm like on a little rope like Tarzan, just trying to get the words. You such big. I know I sound so thick, don't I?
No, I sound like a ponce. So
appropriating the blah blah blah.
No, okay. So thanks for that, mate. Yeah.
I think we found our chair for the Prime Minister debates.
No, I'm all right with you using them, but I would say, like in English lit classes, just slow down slightly.
Fair enough. So, I said, you call her Thatcher. She's not mummy. She's absolutely not mummy.
Mummy, isn't that?
But no, it's very much like. It's a Brexit manifesto. There's no two ways about it. And what I mean by that is, you know, this struggle between, which is no, so left and right really for me do not factor in this manifesto. It doesn't, in fact, the political discussion doesn't factor at all. It's just globalists versus nationalists. So there are certain so no policies can be used as left and right in the traditional way, in my opinion, because it doesn't fit. You know, there are loads of policies in here which are apparently left-wing, but they're in a conservative manifesto.
We go on, I like this, it's making it simple. Globalist versus nationalist. Now, just take me through. I know, obviously, I sort of understand, like, globalisation and nationalism, but can you just take me through what you mean? Like, so the Labour manifesto is about nationalism.
What I mean by that is it seems that most, to be fair to Labour and the Conservative Party, have kind of understood or think they've understood what Brexit means, which is that people want to, you know, people who've been left behind in the last sort of 17 odd years are dissatisfied. And that comes under this big spectre of globalisation, which means, you know, mobile workforces. It means, you know, relaxed border controls. It means, the free movement of people. That's kind of, as far as I understand it, one of the main aspects of
it. That's the globalised element.
Yeah. People who work for a tech company, work, you know, all over Europe. And, that's the globalist kind of...
It's that whole thing of how, like, the UK's moved from being, like, a industrial nation to a services economy, where it's all about finances and all that stuff.
So that stuff covers
all the other stuff I can't think of.
And then nationalism is that sense of being Britain.
So it's about, take us out of the EU, shut down, build the wall, shut down all the other tunnels or whatever. Okay. So you made some good points. I think, like, one thing I've been hearing is that Teresa's manifesto is very similar to poor old bacon-loving Ed Miliband's manifesto from 2 years ago. So, I think basically what's happened with Labour is the equivalent of your John Redwood getting made leader of the party. Mm. And so Corbyn's gone and taken Labour off on this mad manifesto.
I think he's on a bike with his manifesto, cycling up to Northern England.
With a hemp poncho, eating a falafel sandwich.
With olives just scattering like Hansel and Gretel.
He's done that, meaning that Theresa May can just say all the normal things and appeal to everyone. So she's gone from the middle ground. She's now even taking like Labour's bread and butter voters with this. And it's kind of it's a bit of a political own goal that Corbyn's scoring, but I think, I mean, it's a very noble and worthy manifesto. But what it's done is open up. So I don't know. You can tell I don't watch football because I don't know what analogy to use. But there's an open goal. Corbyn is the goalie, and he's gone and tried to score.
Because they're always a bit shit, aren't they?
He's tried to score a goal down the other end, leaving the goal empty. And Theresa May's turned up and gone, do you know what? No one is talking, like, no party is talking to the normal person.
Do you think they changed their manifesto after the leak?
Labour?
No.
Tories?
Conservatives.
Oh, do you reckon they saw, oh, wait a minute.
It's do you think that they were more right, and then suddenly once they saw how left the manifesto was, they went more centre?
They go, wait a minute, no one's saying just all the normal reasonable things, like, let's not change anything. That's basically what they've said. Let's not change anything, but maybe flirt with the idea of putting caps on energy prices, which obviously, again, like your minimum wage example, you can't just do that. You can't just say energy prices don't increase.
Annoy me about these things, and that's what, I mean, I don't know how much. So you might say all this stuff, I want to do this, I want to do that. What's actually going to get done? Like, what's actually realistic to get done? And that's why I really fall down, because.
Well, I mean, in terms of kind of where we're going, the left wingy stuff, but again, I don't really want to use that term because I think it's effectively. Not, it doesn't matter anymore. The policies that she's adopted, like worker representation on boards, all this good stuff about consumer rights legislation against payday lenders, fixing energy tariffs. What that clearly is pitched towards is, I hate to use the cliche, the jams that people who are just about managing. It's this idea of, you know, we're talking about this globalist versus nationalist narrative. It's the idea of those who've been left behind.
Jams. Can we call them the jams?
We can call them the jams.
Like they're calling them jams in Westminster. They're already using that phrase. Yeah.
Yes. And, it's very much just trying to get their support. And if that means appealing to the left, then that's no problem.
That's so weird that they're appealing to. Because, I mean, I don't have many facts to back this up, contrary to the name of this section of the podcast.
Yeah.
But surely the Conservatives privatised lots of things and isolated a lot of jams.
Oh yeah, so
over the years,
the Tories are entirely responsible for the jams.
That's what I mean, and the way that they've been portrayed.
Well, that's obviously
a matter of opinion. Sorry, I should say.
But like, how what are they do? What are they actually doing for the people that are on the breadline and don't like? What in this manifesto helps those people?
Well, I've just given you,
the minimum wage thing that you say is unrealistic.
Well, I say it's unrealistic. I'm saying. You can argue against it, and it's not like the silver bullet. Like, more money doesn't mean more money. It doesn't mean everyone gets a pay increase. But they are doing lots of good things. They're increasing the personal allowance, so the amount of money you earn before you pay tax, that's going up to 12,500. There's a lot of good stuff there for working people.
What was that tax thing on that we discussed last week? Was it? Was it like 80?
So they're not proposing what. The Tories don't like to tax in general, whereas Labour does. So Labour wants to increase income tax on the top 5% and then corporate tax.
What do you think about tax?
I'll tell you what I think about that, is that it isn't actually radical enough. If you're going to be, fully red and, clutching your little red book and wearing unfashionable...
Ooh, you tell them, their little red book. Ooh.
And wearing unfashionable hats.
I really want to see a dissing match.
You need to do something interesting because taxing people's income is—it's like a small gesture. You want to get at people's assets. See, that's what you're really about. If you're really a socialist and a radical socialist, why don't you go after the Duke of Westminster, the Salisburys, the Cherries, the people who own
the
vast swathes?
Who's called the Cherry?
People who own vast swathes of land.
I don't know the Cherries. But, were the Cherries at the dinner last night? I hope they paid.
But the point is like someone who's earning £80,000 a year is not rich. It's just rubbish.
But I mean, last week Paul would totally argue. He'd say that and you were saying the same. 80 grand is loads of money.
Why do you not think they're rich?
Well, you can't. It's not enough to be able to. You know, if you're renting in a competitive environment, it's not enough to be able to save to buy a property. It's not enough to achieve social mobility. So why are you penalising people who've sort of got a little bit of a foothold? If you want to do something which redistributes wealth, and I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but if that's your argument, go after the aristocracy.
Because they want to see at the table. They don't want to be like classed as absolute nutters and going after people's assets and stuff. Sorry. So they want something electable for this manifesto, which is okay, 80 grand or above. And it's going to be a small increase. Well, it equates to an extra £20 a week, I think I got told.
What? £20 a week?
The increase in tax for anyone earning over 80 grand.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably a ludicrous example because I'm sure they're not going to tax the same amount of money to every single person, but it probably is the equivalent. One thing that annoys me about this manifesto, other than the fact that...
You don't agree with all of it.
And it's Theresa May's at the helm and it's a million pages long and it's bored me to death. Social care. So when they decided to make Jeremy Hunt the most unlikable, despicable...
Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah. Ooh.
Whoops.
Satire from South. Bit of political commentary there.
I'm just friends with loads of people. I like, honestly, Wheeler, I'm potentially on your side. I don't want to give the feeling, but I've just been surrounded by.
I feel like you're brokering me right now. You're going to put me into the you know the pen where I you know I'm going to get slaughtered. No, I'm on your side. I'm on your side.
I'm totally on your side.
Get in by the end of this podcast. We want you do it sort of holding hands with Tim Farron at a church sing along, smoking a doobie. Jeremy Hunt obviously was just sort of slashing things left, right, and centre on the NHS. And what was it? It was social care. It was social care that fucking got destroyed. Under the first 5 years of the coalition / mainly the Tory government. And now, Theresa May, other than Brexit.
Stronger, stable.
Exactly, Brexit, breakfast, what? is social care. We're going to fix social care. Well, isn't that brilliant? We wouldn't need to be doing that if you hadn't fucked it in 2010.
Okay,
so tell us what happened.
Okay. Well, I think for a start, you're getting very tribal about it. I mean... You know, if you want to wave your spear in the air and bathe for blood, that's fine.
Roaring with a spear. If you look at, what would you do with that?
If you look at...
stroke it.
So there's a Royal Commission happening, headed by, I think, Lord Saatchi.
Saatchi.
Yeah.
He's a lord now.
Yeah, they give them out, you know. After
we'll be lords once we get to
that's
the,
right.
Once we get
right.
to 2000 an episode. So.
But, you know, you can't just attribute this gap to one administration, whether it be red or blue. I just think that's cheap, to be honest, mate. And also, if you look at what they're trying to do, I don't really see what the fuss is. As the rules stand at the moment, you're only left, if you're in that situation requiring social care, the only amount they'll guarantee is £23,500. They're now increasing that to £100,000. That means you're left with more at the end if you're unfortunate enough to suffer from dementia. I don't see what the issue is with that. And also, could I also carry on? Because that particular generation, which is going to be mostly baby boomers who have enjoyed massive property price growth, are sitting on enormous assets, which, by the way, none of us here are going to get much access to anytime soon. So are you asking us to pay for that care when, in terms of merit, the thing which we all stand for, which is meritocracy, people going up, has effectively, they've already enjoyed it more than any generation. You know, what's the problem? My
main problem is the causing the problem and then shaping themselves as the party that are going to fix the problem.
Social care has been a problem. It's been a deficit in the amount of money available for it. They say we've got an aging population. It's a long-term issue. It's not just attributed to Jeremy Hunt.
Do you think they helped it?
Reforming a few...
But it was social care that suffered the most when during austerity season in the first couple of years of the Tories forming the government. And every friend that worked in the NHS is like, it's social care that has put... The lack of social care that is then causing all this A&E crisis of everyone having to go to A&E because they just don't know what they're supposed to be doing because no one's going to visit.
And is it because of, and also like the computers, the bugs?
It probably is the hackers as well, but anyway, I don't want to go too much on an NHS
Can I ask a personal question, just because I come from more of an arts background.
Right.
What did I always call a roll with her eyes? What would
you
say?
That was a wince. I mean,
was it?
Sorry, go on.
What would you say that then the Conservatives are doing in regard to like backing kind of the creative element of our country?
I mean, obviously, you know, without the creative element of our country, you know, there would be chaos. There'd be blood cascading through the streets. Properties would collapse.
What would you do without Banksy and yeah, like street art?
Exactly. I love looking at vandalism.
And theatre.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the next Da Vinci coming from Britain.
You know, I don't speak for the Tory party when I say this, obviously, but no, I don't really see it as a priority. Personally, politically, all I care about is improving the living standards of those who are trying to improve their lot, and looking after our own countrymen and women. That's it, really. And when there isn't much money to be had, you don't get to enjoy frivolities. What people fail to understand is, like, if you had a, you know, if you think of the country like a single household, if you owe money and it's getting bigger, you've got to pay it off. You can't just keep doing all the things you want to do. You can't just go buy 20 iPods and be incredibly...
It's so nice to have 20 iPods.
Yeah, I mean, I would love them. I'd have a wall full of iPods. But
you
can't just
to give
do
you some
you
of
want.
Those iPods.
You know, and these things are in effect, you know, luxuries which currently cannot be afforded. However, I'm willing to be hectored for this, because obviously we are spending 0.7% on the foreign aid budget, which, of course, is that very narcissistic frivolity which I'm referring to. So, in my opinion,
she loves that you just use the word frivolity. I can tell.
So
that was my key word in that.
You know, for me, again, not for the Conservative Party. If you really want to plough a load of money back into the NHS, totally with you, brother. Get it from the foreign aid budget and put it straight back in, and let the elderly be looked after.
It's 0.7.
More comfortable.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much.
So
money
you're
is,
saying that because it's then that's the nationalism part, right?
Well, me as
foreign
as
aid,
that, yeah.
Yeah. So take away some money that we're giving to other countries and give it back to our country that needs
it's
it.
It's a classic example of the nationalist approach, isn't it? Don't give the money to the other countries, keep the money for ourselves.
Why, but why is that so awful?
No, I'm not saying it's awful.
If we accept a dime.
Well, maybe we need it.
Well, maybe we do.
Maybe what he's saying is that we, like, everyone's given all this.
Yeah, but I thought we were getting 350 million a week from.
Well, we will
from,
at some point.
For the NHS
but if,
anyway.
If I could just refer you back to the great theologians, Mobb Deep, the hip hop group. they said.
I'm familiar with some of their work.
Oh, who isn't? They said, when worse comes to worse, my peoples come first. And I wholeheartedly agree with that viewpoint. Because, absolutely right. If we have a social care crisis, then we have to make. Efficiencies and sacrifices to help our own.
And do you know
people.
What? There's a little part of me that's like, I'm with you there. Like, again, this is a loose tie, but whatever happened with Greece and rubbish like that when there was a massive failing
economy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, if they maybe put some more, I don't
that,
know how much.
That was
they,
a socialist government that got that went in.
Well, see, I actually really like. I can never say his name properly, but
Mr. Leverjacket.
Yeah, Mr. Marifakis.
I can't remember. I'm terrible.
But,
I'm terrible.
Narafakis, more like.
Narafakis. They fucked us, whatever it was. He's brilliant because he is exactly coming from why the European Union is such this weird, twisted, evil empire. Because they've lost their democracy. They can't impose the policies they want on their own nation state because they're part of a supranational element. And their stuff. They've got all these technocrats, you know, telling them what they've got to do and all these checks they've got to sign, and it's total chaos and it's wrong. Simple as that.
How are we going to fix it all?
Well, Sophie, as the sort of undecided voter, is there anything else you want to ask our Tory in the room to sort of help you make your decision?
Do you like Nigel Farage?
Yeah, I like Nigel Farage.
Why do you like him? He likes a beer.
I quite enjoy. I mean, obviously, that's enough to sell anyone to me.
He likes a beer, and he
does
loves
he like metal.
I wish he liked black metal. If he liked black metal, I'd be like all over him like a rash.
You're the most unlikely character, in my opinion, that likes black metal.
I'm afraid you don't know black metal if you're saying that. It's
really? is it like proper? Is there some, were all the boys last night and girls? If there are any girls, there's probably no girls.
5% at best. I'm afraid.
is there an alt-right subtext of black metal that we don't know about?
Of course.
Me and Sophie have been having the black metal on in our car, singing along to
absolutely,
all the words.
Absolutely, Black Sabbath.
Not knowing,
screeching along to the words. It's interesting you say that. There's a band called Inquisition who are Brazilian, and they describe the lead singer as sounding like a roaring toad, and I think that's absolutely fine.
It's quite similar to what I just did.
You know, well, exactly. If you want to hail Satan, how else are you going
to
do it?
I did go to a System of a Down concert when I was young.
That's not black metal. Don't insult all of us in this room with that statement.
All of us in the room. Sorry, I'm going to have to... I'm just blushing from how embarrassed I am. insulted. We need to wrap up. So I guess to conclude, Sophie, have the Tories earned any points on your little tally chart?
I think I wrote one thing on it last week.
Yeah, and what have you written this time?
I would conclude, because I haven't written anything because I've been so engaged in the conversation, that there is parts of what you've said about the idea of, like, we do need to sort our country out first. Like, it's a bit like, if you're ill, you can't help other people if you're not well enough to help them. Yeah. So there is that part of it that I think that's something. But it feels so complex. Like, where do you get the money? It's like, where's the money being spent? Like, it's, no one knows this. Like, but if we did a breakdown of 100%.
But it isn't that complicated, though. The money to pay for everything comes from the private sector. If the private sector isn't performing, then there isn't money for all the nice things. 42% of our economy is currently run by the state. And if that ratio goes too far the other way, then there's less money and then we can't pay for all the things we want to pay for. So
what happens if it's 50-50?
Well, I would say that would be not a great idea. If you look at just before the last recession, the average income for someone in the public sector was about 24 grand, and the average income for someone in the private sector is about 23,500. Straight away, that tells you more money is going out than is coming in. Then you can't help the old people. You can't fix...
You think everything should be privatised?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a lovely logical argument, but no, I agree. There are some elements about it. It's very difficult to make money out of sick people, let's be honest. You know?
Yeah. So then but we'll try. Sorry, we're going to carry on.
Sorry.
Interesting. Yeah.
We can't
go anymore.
Listeners, if you want to keep on listening,
let's talk about immigration. Like, I was here for that. That's my thing. You've taken away my favourite thing, but it's fine. Like I say, it's fine.
Maybe we'll
I think we need to get you back on.
Yeah, you can just leave a voicemail, a 10-minute ramble about immigrants, and then I'll put it online.
Oh, we're going to do that, are we? So just so your listeners know, I'm currently dating a quote immigrant. So you've got nothing on me. Nothing on me. I'm not even a skinhead. I may have a bomber jacket. You don't know. All right?
It's all good. Thank you both for a lively debate.
Go with Christ.
Task Force. So, Task Force, Alex, is a feature where every week I inexplicably get a call from a well-known public figure asking for my help, and then I just happen to be with two friends when I get the call, or just after the call.
It's because you're never on your own, isn't it?
I've got issues with loneliness.
Who doesn't?
That'll be a Task Force one week. I just have to have a look in the mirror and think about, really, why are the celebrities really calling me, or is it?
Yeah.
But anyway, this week Prince Harry has called me. He is he's very hungover, actually.
He's always hungover, isn't he?
He's very hungover. So he's been at a wedding. His brother's wife's
sister-in-law. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sister-in-law.
It is a sister-in-law.
Yeah. Okay. His 100%. Sister-in-law's wedding. And he's had a great time, and it's given him sort of the love bug. He's caught the love bug, and he said
is it like a ladybird?
He'd like to make an honest woman of his girlfriend.
Why do they use that expression?
I don't know.
Honest woman, like she was dishonest beforehand.
I mean, it's almost like the family unit is the core of all society. I mean, I don't know, guys, whatever.
But is it now?
Everything's relative, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not now. They shouldn't use that expression.
Yeah, I think I heard someone the other day use it as a misogynistic phrase, and they were quoting it as one. It stuck in my head, but it felt appropriate to use for the royals. Traditional. Yeah.
You know, I always like to stay gender fluid wherever possible.
Sure.
And attend many poetry slams with vegans.
Are you being gender fluid right now?
Yeah, exactly right.
Is that why you look like a woman?
Are you referring to my man boobs? sorry, my non-binary boobs.
No, I didn't notice them, but now I have.
I'm sure there'll be an appropriate term for them that's changed by the end of this podcast.
Without doubt,
it won't be boobs. Doubt.
So anyway, Harry wants to propose to his girlfriend Meghan. He's asked me for some help, but first let's talk about the wedding of the year. What was it? It was Pippa Middleton.
Pippa Middleton to her billionaire.
Is he a billionaire?
Millionaire? Yeah, he's got loads of money.
Oh, he's bloody rich.
And I'd just like to pick up... I picked up a different newspaper. We all picked up different newspapers this week, didn't we?
Yeah. What did you go for?
I went for the Daily Star Sunday.
Okay. I wanted to prepare for the first segment, so I read The Sun. And then what did you go for?
I spoke to a load of people who write for BuzzFeed and The Guardian and tried not to get upset.
we're still searching for the bodies. So they got married. From what I hear, Kate was maid of honour.
Yeah, she was. And I mean, the Daily Star, really, they just focus on this idea that she was telling off some of the little flower girls during the ceremony.
I thought she told off George, because I saw a photo of George crying.
Yeah, that's there, actually.
Oh, poor old George. He was having...
Also, you can see her shushing.
She's got a really mean...
You've got to be stern,
she's got a mean face, though.
But no, that's because of her cheekbones. She's got really good cheekbones.
Excellent cheekbones. And two blue eyes like Chip Glaciers.
Don't you think that Pippa's new fella, what's his name? Michael Matthews or something.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
probably. Michael Matthews.
Who knows?
He looks a little bit like Prince Charles.
I was just thinking that. But Prince Charles was crossed with some kind of bird with a plume on the top. I can't think of one now.
Yeah, peacock, what are they? Those, the ones with the white birds
like
with the yellow.
Or something. Yeah,
white
yeah,
birds
yeah.
with the yellow stuff on the top.
And Alex, I imagine you're a big reality TV fan.
Never, I can't stop watching it.
So do you know who his famous brother is? This guy that's married Pippa.
Oh my God, it's him!
Quentin Hawk.
Quentin, who's Quentin Hogg?
Like
what reality TV?
I just think Quentin Tarantino.
Former leader of the Conservative Party and absolute smash hitter back in the '60s. You should read more.
Wikipedia.
I'm joking.
Oh, it's Spencer Matthews. From Made in Chelsea.
Who's called Lothario in this?
He probably is a Lothario by my standards.
So, why are you rubbing your head? You know, like
it's
Made
right.
in Chelsea.
Don't get me wrong. I love going to Maggie's and smashing pina coladas and listening to Yaz with all the crew. But it's a bit much, isn't it? Yeah, it's like.
Do you think it's they've let him get too close to the royal family? They've let Made
they've
in Chelsea
let him
get
live,
too
which
close.
He was on The Bachelor as well.
And he won the jump. That's the one where they do a big ski. Have you seen that on the TV?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, very good.
I literally hate arrogance so much, and that's all he stands for, just this arrogance, and he gets it just is everywhere he goes, what he does, it just seems like that just gets enforced.
What would you do though if like you met him at a bar and he was really charming to you?
Nothing would like. I've got an opinion too much, haven't I now?
Well, you go catatonic. You wouldn't actually be able to speak to him. You just
I'd
have
probably
a small
orgasm
fit.
Five times, and then I'd walk off, and play hard to get. And
see,
joking,
that's
and
a no. That's quite right. That's what I would do. Yeah.
So,
very good.
So basically, yeah. So these two worlds have collided, where the royal family are pretty much like
reality TV
tied into Made in Chelsea now. Spencer's no longer on the show. And the last time I checked,
he did The Bachelor, and then he was literally such an idiot that
really?
He couldn't go back again.
Was he ever not an idiot?
No, he's just like a player, isn't he? And I just like I really just find it. I mean, it's if you're a player, then
it's all right. He's a symptom of the end times before the regeneration and the apocalypse, isn't he, really? He is like the seventh head of the Hydra or something.
He's like what you said about my necklace.
He's polyamorous.
I reckon he's probably
polyamorous. He's a
swinger.
He's a swinger on steroids.
Does that mean you like men and women? Or does this mean you just have like multiple partners?
I think it all just once it, you get down.
He just loves a bit of it.
He just
anything,
loves sex,
anything
I think,
he can
or
get,
just like flirting or...
Get his hands on.
I find it quite tiring, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. What, sex?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's, oh, absolutely.
That could be next week's task force.
Kate Wheeler back on the game.
So Kate was maid of honour. Spencer was best man. Apparently security was ridiculously tight. You had to send your photo in advance and then they'd give you a password that you'd then whisper into some sort of butler's ear and then you'd get there and then there was a wheel.
That sounds fun. It sounds like Secret Cinema.
I imagine that was just like Secret Cinema.
I reckon
Cinema.
They probably integrated
and
it.
So Will was there. Kate was there. Harry was there, but then Harry had to leave. Did you hear this?
Do a like 200-mile round trip or something?
Yeah.
He went and picked up his lady.
So, do you know much about? Well, I guess first of all, Alex, are you a royalist? Are you a fan of the monarchy?
I'm a small R royalist, I suppose.
Okay.
You know, who else are we going to put on our like you know, minor
it.
One? Yeah,
is
it's all
it
right.
Like,
it's all right.
Yeah, I can't think of the words today, but like you're like partial to a little bit of royalism.
Well, I'd probably like royalism a lot more if I was one of the royals, but yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
You speak like a royal.
Thanks, babes.
Very proper. So Harry went and got his soon to be fiance from wherever 100 miles away, because she apparently she didn't want to steal the thunder of Pippa. So do you know who she is, Meg? Are you familiar with Meg's work?
She's in Suits, isn't she?
Oh, Sophie's eyes just lit up there. She loves a bit of Suits.
I literally love it. I've said it before, I think.
Yeah, you like. Do you like Harvey? Is that what he's called?
Oh, I don't know if I'm like. I don't ever feel like huge attachments to men on TV. That's like a weird thing in me. Don't get me wrong, they're fit, but. This sounds so lame, but I don't know them, do I?
What was the name of the king that abdicated? Because he had an American...
Edward.
Do you not think Harry's doing an Edward? Like, he's sort of, you know, he's carefree and footloose, and he's just, you know, he's going to do whatever he wants.
No, I think he's assessed the situation, and I think he's... obviously, he's nowhere near the crown anymore. He's got two little kids in between him and Will that will get it first. So there's no reason for him to be worrying about being eligible for being king. So I think he can marry who he wants.
It just reinforces, though, the idea that royalty and celebrity...
He can't, actually.
Is there some sort of charter from the 1800s that you found?
It's funny, and this scroll I have in my basement.
If Kate had been a Catholic, then they couldn't have done it, because he's meant to be head of the church, not had any other external influences which would impede upon the, you know, you governing the whatever national
interest.
What do you
mean, other influences?
Well, if you were a member of a faith or organisation which
had a Buddhist.
He's a very aggressive Buddhist, which had which was loyal
she chants
to
every morning in the tower,
which was loyal to an international figure who had a different agenda. Then of course there's a conflict of interest, and you wouldn't do it. It's just common sense.
But even if he's not going to be king, is it just he's just going to be the fun drunk?
Yeah, but if you're cousin, you don't get to be the fun drunk, do you?
Maybe she's neutral.
Brother,
maybe she doesn't have a religion. Atheist.
Well,
you have to have a religion to marry in.
What I'm afraid is it's like an ancient thing.
Are we talking like ancient Egyptians or like ancient in like 70s?
I don't know, probably since 14th century. I'm just, who knows?
Just pulled that out of the air.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real thing, I'm not even joking.
We're not in the facts anymore.
So, but that will probably be changed now with the modern world.
I doubt that. If you're going to defend an institution which is traditional, you don't just get to pick and choose. I'll have their money, but I won't have any of the.
Yeah, I've seen Victoria, I've seen the programme. But also, yeah, this whole idea of like celebrity and monarchy, like they're just becoming celebrities, aren't they? And so the fact that he's now dating a celebrity does blur the line somewhat of what is the point of the royals.
That's a fair point.
I like it though. I like it. We haven't got much time on Task Force to actually deal with the task.
Oh, what? So he needs to propose to her.
So basically he's asked me to kind of like help him propose. Now, so what would be a worthy proposal?
I think keep it fucking simple and
really?
A picnic.
A picnic?
That he made cheese sandwiches.
So he's a prince. She is a Hollywood star or whatever.
And
loosely.
A picnic.
Do you think a picnic?
Yeah, just keep it really simple.
What would he make the food himself?
Yeah, like
make?
Just cheese sandwich, Branston pickle, a little pork pie,
Scotch egg,
a Ribena. Always have a Ribena in a picnic.
What about Scotch egg? Are you a pro?
I think that's a bit far.
Okay. What if he made it himself? That's quite a gesture, isn't it?
That is, but I just think like take it back. Party rings.
wait. We're not allowing a Scotch egg, but we're...
Am I giving away all the ways I'm going to seduce my future husband?
Any listener who is being...
If anyone likes that kind of meal, just email in.
Sausage roll?
I don't like them unless they're hot.
Oh, and we might be far away. I imagine by...
Is that a euphemism? Or...
all the faffing of getting it into the box and obviously...
Basket, obviously. A bit like, oh my gosh, just thinking of a story about Tiffin.
Oh, that time. We shouldn't have in jokes in the podcast, but there.
No,
there was
they
a
do know who
there was.
Is,
yeah, there was a time
James.
Where James arrived on a date. So any fans of James on the podcast will enjoy this
with a hamper because his friend had said, "Get a really you need a bottle of wine." He was like, "White or red?" He's like, "Red." Nice hamper. You've got to get a wicker hamper. You've got to get a gingham, you know, cloth. You've got to. It's got to be amazing.
Do it proper.
And he's like, "Okay." And then this girl texted him saying, "Meet you at this place in Hyde Park." He got there.
Yeah.
It was just his mate having him on.
Oh no!
And he just saw them. He just saw them from behind the bushes, laughing. Oh.
That's a real kick in the dick, isn't it?
But then he enjoyed the bottle of red because that's what he preferred.
I hope he ate all the Scotch eggs to himself.
What's yours, Wheeler?
How would you do it if you are a fun-loving prince and you want a lovely actress to be your bride, how would you go about it?
You're kind of asking me to like endorse something I don't agree with. So
you don't agree in marriage?
No, of course. No,
with this marriage.
I'm married to Satan. No, what I mean is... like I say, this whole overlap between celebrity and the royal family, I don't buy into it. I don't think...
It's appropriate.
I don't think you should marry her. So I'm kind of not really part of the equation.
Right, well, you're not going on the bloody guest list, right? He's not coming on the stag. That makes the stag list easy.
Do we want him on the stag?
Swallowing in vomit, or whatever it is they do.
So it's me, Harry, Will... I guess Despenser and his brother have to come on the stag?
If I'm coming, they're not coming. Oh, sorry, am I not allowed on the stag? No, yeah.
I don't know if we're being traditional.
Yeah.
I'm being traditional. I'm just the
fool. Sophie can't come on the stag because she's a woman.
That is a rule, though, isn't it, in stags?
I think it's fine. You can come on Harry's stag. You can be, like, my plus one.
Do
you
maybe get I can be, like, the stripper that just ends up coming on the rest of the trip, but without stripping.
Yeah,
you know, like a character that comes into the stag but then just gets taken. You know, I've joined on stag do's before.
Yeah,
just like on a night out, or whatever.
Well, people you didn't know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where we're ending up. We're probably gonna end up at like a club called like Fever or Flames or they're always called something like that. Simply, yeah, syphilis party.
Most happening place in Budapest. Yeah.
Ignite. No, that's
Ignite. Downing shots of Corkies. Mixed with Jaeger.
Oh yeah, like Skittle Bombs and stuff. Oh, I mean, you shouldn't ask me about the proposal. I plan him a great stag on Harry.
Yeah. Well, you've got unlimited money, you've got unlimited funds, haven't you? Yeah. Then I almost feel like because you've got unlimited funds, that's why I think keep it simple. Because what actually, it depends. People get a bit ridiculous, don't they, about marriage and stuff like that. When really, it's about you marrying someone you care about and spending the rest of your life with them and having that commitment. But it all just gets, it's like big clouds of like, big candy floss clouds around it of warped ideas of what, like self-affirmation and...
Well, you're using big words like him now.
Sorry,
I can't keep
up. I've got to Google. I mean,
it's like being in Russell Brand's head. Difficult today.
He's got one good quote, though, hasn't he? He called Nigel Farage a pound shop pal, and even though it's denigrating or whatever, that was pretty smooth. I'll give him that.
Well, that's all we've got time for on Task Force. I feel like...
I don't think Harry's getting married.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Not if Alex has got
a picnic or...
Not like, if Alex has got anything to do with it.
You're like the grandma. You're like Maggie Smith.
I will be the person that runs in and says, I object. Stop the press.
And I'm going to be the mate who goes, can we still have the stag anyway? Anyway, thank you both.
Quiz?
Right. Well, Alex, we like to finish every week with a little quiz I prepare. Don't worry, it doesn't involve knowing anything about the news. Because
don't worry, I'm always awful at it.
So all you do is say your name if you think you know the answer.
So who am I competing with?
Sophie.
Me.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'm in the same.
Question number one. They did a report on music this week and they said, I'll ask you the question. Who has the most streamed song of last year,
Sophie,
that came out before 2010? So what's like basically the most played old song of last year?
Sophie.
Go on, Sophie, you're a DJ. What always gets the kids going?
Queen?
It's a good guess. It's not Queen.
Elvis?
It's not Elvis.
Elton John?
No. I'd say it probably came out in about 2004.
Skepta?
Bieber. No, it was The Killers, Mr. Brightside. Do you like that one,
do
Alex?
You know
that reminds me of all the times I didn't get laid at uni.
And I do play that at most of my gigs.
Really?
Yeah.
And do they still love it?
It literally goes down, like, especially that intro. A good intro.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. I can't do it because I can't sing, but I was going to try and recreate the intro.
I always preferred Fratelli's Chelsea Dagger if you're talking about winners on the dance floor. Alex hates that song too.
Head in hand.
We Were Scientists, all the great Hard Fight, I Need to Find a Cash Machine. God, so
you,
many.
You hang on, in a minute, we need to list this off because I've got...
You're making a playlist too.
Well, yeah.
So question number two. Someone this week on the left has pointed out that... someone's previously used Theresa May's strong and stable slogan.
A horse?
Who was it?
Oh, God, it's been like Pinochet or something, isn't it?
No, I mean, keep going. Like,
It's not to do with politics, though.
He was quite a big political character.
I don't know anyone.
Arthur Scargill.
No, I think a little bit more
Churchill?
Extreme. No, I mean
extreme. Oh, Scargill.
It is Hitler. In my accounts, apparently they regularly use the phrase.
It's just like, it's such a childish comparison. But, you know, do you know also, I also read that Hitler uses the word the, and that guy over there said the word the, so that guy's got to be a freaking Nazi, right?
Hey,
I'm done.
I just write the questions, no, I didn't say anything.
Why don't you give me the BNP manifesto one? That's coming on BuzzFeed, isn't it? You know,
he's still around, the BNP.
No, the 2005 BNP manifesto is apparently, you know, like, the policy is the same as adopted by the Conservative Party.
My mum went on a date with a deputy head of the BNP.
How was he? Did he pay?
He asked her to Google her before she met him, and she didn't. And then they went away, and she said everyone in the restaurant was looking at them.
Oh my God.
She went on 2 dates.
Question number 3.
Excellent.
According to The Sun, that I've been reading today, what is affecting, what illness is affecting Britain's sausage and bacon lovers?
Oh, Alex, gout. No, how can not diabetes?
Sophie, you got any guesses?
What disease?
It's an ailment of sorts.
Like gluten, being gluten free. What's that? What's that called?
I guess, is it celiac?
Being a celiac.
It's Brexit virus.
Is that a pun? Or?
Tens of thousands of Brits struck down with Brexit virus after eating bacon and sausages laced with deadly hepatitis E strain from Europe.
So it's PETA. Okay.
The Europeans are sending us resentful hepatitis.
Oh, that's not on. Shouldn't they have shots anyway?
Revenge hep.
Revenge hep.
Okay.
What are we on? What scores, by the way?
I think it's 0-0.
I've got one.
Oh, sorry, Sophie, 1-0. Sorry.
Question
number 4. Why are people getting upset about the new Jane Austen £10 note?
I was going to make a joke, which is stupid.
Is she not on it? Is that?
She is on it. She's on it.
Is she got a low cut top on it?
Brilliant.
I might give you half a point because people are upset that they've prettied her up. They've made her look prettier.
Airbrushed Jane Austen. That's what I would do.
Like Meghan Trainor and all that rubbish.
Yeah, people have looked at all the old the old images of Jane Austen and gone,
just tip her in at the waist.
Well, it's like the Queen's never looked like the Queen on the coin.
No, that's because she's ageing and the notes aren't ageing.
She can't die. She's ethereal.
So 1.5 points to Sophie, no points to
Alex.
Let's see with the final question. So I think a couple of weeks ago we covered the fact that The Rock wants to run for president in 2020. Last night he...
That is real. I thought that was a joke.
I think it's kind of a joke, but who knows in this world.
Yeah.
Trump's president. Who does The Rock want as his running mate? He revealed that yesterday.
Eddie Murphy.
No. But it is an actor.
Who's The Rock friend? I don't know any wrestlers. You probably do, don't you?
It's not Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, I'm out. Yeah. I
won't vote then. Well, Arnie dipped his toe in the water at one point, but
he's
gone now.
No.
Can you not?
No, he's...
Like, literally run?
He's Austrian.
Yeah.
Austrian. Oh, yeah.
I think...
Kanye.
Jay-Z. No. Think more lovable. The nation's father, in some ways. They call him that.
They're going to bring back Thomas Jefferson.
David Attenborough?
We're not lending a 90-year-old Brit. Okay, you're not going to get it. Tom Hanks.
Oh,
wouldn't that be great? The Rock and Tom Hanks running the country.
Everyone kind of wants to sit on Tom Hanks' knee and just to be told it's going to be all
right.
Do
you feel like that? I don't think I feel like that.
Well, what would you want him to do to you?
No, I don't know. I don't feel like that about him.
They don't have that kind of relationship.
I mean, maybe it was a man thing.
But anyway, that is all we've got time for on this point of the news. Congratulations, Sophie, for a rare win. I'm very pleased for you. Alex, thank you for joining us and giving us a very different perspective to what we normally have. I hope you'll be joining us again in the future.
Yeah, I hope so.
Thanks, Sophie.